Welcome. I'm LaToya Renee Hill, and this is Her Life Now, a new series with deep, thoughtful conversations about God, wellness, music, relationships, big reflections, and small joys. Let's get into it.
Welcome back. Today we have the pleasure of interviewing my cousin Jamelyn Noble, aka Jamie. I can say that she is someone that I have looked up to. And Jamie, when we were younger, well, me, my sister, and my cousins were younger, she used to ask us if we wanted to come over and be her maids in my Whitley Gilbert voice. And we would actually come over and do what she told us to do, which is amazing. But it was good times. So I introduced my cousin, Jamelyn Noble. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey. And I'm going to get you about that memory, that childhood memory. I do not remember that, but I believe you because I loved Whitley Gilbert. And I can imagine myself using that voice.
You did. All right. Before we dive deep into the incredible journey that has brought you to this season of life, let's start with some light, joyful moments.
Okay.
Just to ease in and to get to know your spirit a little bit. Okay. What's your go-to comfort meal after a long day?
Ooh, that would be Chipotle. My husband does not like that. He would prefer something else, but Chipotle is definitely my go-to meal. Definitely after a long day. Awesome. It's a treat.
What do you get from Chipotle?
A chicken salad. Now, I do have another restaurant that I would love after a long day. It's Cava. And it's kind of a Chipotle style.
It has a healthy version.
Yes.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Love that place.
You talked about childhood memories. Can you share one of yours, something that still makes you smile?
Ooh, and we had a whole bunch of good childhood memories. Mm-hmm. So I will go back to probably one of the first memories I have. And I don't remember the circumstances. I know my mom was not there. I don't know if she was in the hospital after just having my younger sister or what, but my dad was there and he had to do my hair. Mm-hmm. And so I begged and begged and begged him to let me have an afro because I just wanted to have an afro. And he did it. And it was a nice afro. And I was just like so excited and happy. I mean, that to me was like a dad doing a daughter's hair the way she wanted it.
Yes. So sweet.
Mm-hmm.
If we looked at your playlist right now, what three songs would be on repeat?
So I listen to Pandora. Okay. So I could tell you my top three stations right now. Okay. Israel Houghton, Torin Wells, and this is crazy, don't judge me, Jay-Z.
Wow.
I mean, I love my gospel inspiration music. I listen to it on the way to work. I listen to it on the way home. But if I'm really trying to push myself, I'm going to turn to Jay-Z. He's good for when you're working out.
Okay.
Yeah, when you want to push yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What is one small everyday joy that you look forward to?
Now, when I can come home from work and get into some pajamas and relax. Turn TV on, relax. Get into some pajamas. That's when I can. So, that's what I look forward to.
You wear many hats. Engineer, mother, wife, leader, woman of faith. And I know that didn't happen by accident. These few questions are about the foundation of who you are and what drives you.
Okay.
Who or what is your biggest inspiration in life today?
I would have to go with Michelle Obama. I just love Michelle Obama. I love what she does. I love the way she's carried herself. I love her because she represents to me what I've seen all my life with Black women. Strength, caring, being there as support, finding yourself, being leaders in your community and at work. And that's all of the things that I've seen with women in my family, women at church. She just embodies all the things that I love about Black women.
How has your view of success evolved since being in your 20s?
In your 20s, you're kind of right out of college or right out of high school. What you focus on most is probably money and getting to a certain point in your career, building your life as far as where you're going to live, what you're going to drive, how you're going to spend your money hanging out. And I think now I'm not as focused on money. I won't. My money.
Right.
But I think it's more about being a whole person. And that's what success is about. Whatever that whole person looks like to you.
So it's personal.
Yes, it's personal. It's not necessarily related to where you work. Not necessarily related to some of the people around you. But it's definitely your internal definition, and what makes you happy and joyful, and what sustains you. And that to me is what success looks like.
Awesome. So what is a good quote, scripture, or mantra that you live by?
It's actually lyrics from a song and they're loved by people.
What do you think is the most misunderstood thing about being a Black woman in leadership?
I don't think people try to understand Black women. I think there's just a lot of misconceptions and misperceptions of who we are, that we're strong, and we are, but that we're strong to a point where we don't need support as well. And we do need support. I think there's probably some kind of idea that we're not human in a lot of areas, that somehow if we're assertive, then we're angry. If we're vulnerable, then we're not fit for the position. So I think just in general that people don't see us as human sometimes.
Balancing ambition with grace is something so many women in their later years are navigating. Let's talk about how your values and your support systems help you manage it all. So how do you balance being a wife, being a mother of a teenage son?
Teenage, very teenage.
And a thriving career woman. What grounds you?
Some days you're going to be great at being a wife and maybe not so good at being a mother. Some days you'll be good at your career and maybe not so good as a wife. So I think you give yourself some grace and take it one day at a time. There's days you will perfect it and there's days that you won't. But you just understand that that's life. Otherwise, you'll kind of drive yourself crazy,
right?
Trying to do everything and be everything.
Perfect.
Yes, perfect.
How do you show up because of your faith at work, at home, or in the community?
I think I just have that idea that I know God is looking out for me. I know He will never leave me. So I think the number one thing I have to do in each area is just to show up. Even when it's tough and it's rough, you know, if you show up, you possibly might have, you know, a pretty good time or a pretty good day.
Right.
But you got to show up. You can't stop doing. You can't stop going. So I think my faith lets me know that as long as I show up, I know that he's going to take care of the rest of it.
That's good. And my thing is today with my faith is I wake up and I encourage myself, tell myself that you're going to win in this day.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a little part of your day or a big part, but you're still a winner.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's something kind of new for me.
It can be hard.
Yeah.
It can be really hard because, I mean, life is tough.
It is.
Your days are long and the years are short.
Right. Yes.
Ooh.
But, okay. What's one lesson you learned from your father that you carry with you today?
My dad was such a hard worker. He was a bricklayer, and he really loved his work. He really did. And he was not really a talker. He was more of a gentle, quiet kind of person. I mean, he was not going to be missed in a room, but he was not really a big talker. And I think what I've learned from him, just the way he carried himself, is that I learned a lot about integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So he taught me more about integrity in his silence than many people have taught me by talking. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably the biggest lesson I've learned from him. You know, integrity. You know, do what you say you're going to do. Work hard, work honestly, and give it your best. And at the end of the day, you can rest.
You can do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on boards, leading in engineering, active in church. How do you protect your peace in the midst of doing so much?
I think if you have someone that you can vent to, it doesn't necessarily have to be a group of people, and it definitely is not social media.
Right.
But if you have somebody who you can talk to, who you can share your frustrations and your joys with from the day, I think that's a good way of keeping your peace, keeping you grounded and level-headed. And it has to be somebody who's going to be honest with you, who's going to listen to you intently, but then give you very
blunt,
authentic, blunt advice about maybe your role in whatever's happening, who will have some compassion and know how to console you when you don't really know what to do. A good friend or a good husband will help you.
I just go to Jesus.
Jesus is good too. You go there first.
Right.
And then you let it out to a confidant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let's get a little deeper. These are the kind of questions that really tell us who you are when the spotlight is off.
Mm.
What keeps you going on the hard days when nothing feels easy?
Family, my son, my husband. And I think for me, it's a general curiosity about the future because you kind of want to know what comes next. What's going to happen next? Even when things aren't that great, there's something there that makes you want to know, okay, what's next?
And,
you know, even when I think about my son, I would love to see him as an adult. You know, I just kind of want to know what he's going to be like.
Right.
What is he going to do? So that general curiosity about the future is what keeps me going.
So have you ever felt like you did not belong in a room? And how did you overcome that?
I don't know if I ever felt like I didn't belong in the room. I may have felt some way about the role and the people in the role. And I think for me, I am very much an observer. So I think that helps me to kind of be comfortable in those kind of spaces because I observe people, I observe what they say. And I think that helps me to be able to relate to people.
Right.
That's good.
Because I observe a lot. And sometimes it's, I guess, too much.
Yeah.
Because I'm looked at as being quiet.
Yes.
So that's just me taking in all the energy that other people bring.
Well, you know, the good Lord gave you two ears and one mouth.
Right.
And I try to explain that to people, but, you know, some people don't get that.
But yeah, so that's me. What's one characteristic you admire about yourself that took years to develop?
I don't know if it took years to develop, but I know what I admire most about myself is my loyalty to people. I say, you know, I'm ride or die. I don't really want to die, but, you know, if we can avoid that, you know, we will.
Right.
But I think that loyalty to people is my number one asset. I don't know that you'll find someone more loyal.
Right. Mine would be confidence. And again, I didn't have to, it didn't have to develop. I just had to realize that I already had it.
Right.
And kind of walk in it.
Yeah.
So, is there a dream or a goal that you still carry with you? Something you haven't done yet?
I think there's new interests that I have.
Okay.
Now, I don't think it was a dream because I didn't know that was something I wanted to do. But there's things that I want to do, like my second career, would like to be somewhere in on the creative side. In interior design, I would love to do that.
That'll work for you. Do you feel fulfilled in life today? If not, what would fulfillment look like for you?
I think that's a day-by-day thing also. Some days you feel fulfilled, then other days you maybe question what's your purpose or what's this really all about. I don't know if I have a good picture of what fulfillment looks like. I think I'm just moving through life and being fulfilled each day and just continuing to be fulfilled. So,
yeah, that's a good answer. Okay, we've come full circle. To close things out, let's reflect on your wisdom, joy, and the legacy you're building.
Ooh, I have wisdom.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a lot of it. My God. What's one piece of advice you would give your younger self?
You know what? I would tell my younger self to enjoy the experiences of life, not to rush through them. And I use the example of when I had my son, and I'm a very organized person.
Meticulous.
Yes, very meticulous, check boxes and all of that. And so I think that, you know, in the scurry of motherhood, you're always trying to get everything done. I think when you kind of live your life that way, sometimes you miss out on some of the moments, some of the precious moments. Mm-hmm. I missed out on some moments. Like, for instance, if I knew now, or if I knew then what I know now, I would have probably spent a few more minutes watching him sleep in his car seat. Just little things like that, just, you know, to have that and hold that in your memory. Mm-hmm. Spend a little longer reading that book before bedtime. So that's what I would tell my younger self, just to enjoy each experience, not to try to rush through it, not to put it on a list of things to do, but to just enjoy the experiences.
What brings you the most joy in this season of your life?
Just being here and figuring out what the second, and I call it the second phase of life is going to look like for me. Coming into your own, not being so bothered by things that would have bothered you when you were young, being free to feel and to say what you want. That's what I'm so thankful for. And then, you know, after a while, I'm going to be an empty nester. And then I'll get the chance to see what that looks like and what that may bring. Probably get more involved in, you know, other community activities at that point.
Cute. The last question.
The last question. Oh, my goodness.
How do you want to be remembered, and what legacy are you building both at work and at home?
When I think about legacy, I just think about important people.
You have a legacy.
I think what I would probably want my legacy to be, I was on the ladder and I held somebody's hand. I helped them up. The idea of mentorship, I think. Because throughout my career, I always had, you know, someone in the office that I related to, that I could talk to. And I think at this stage, that's who I try to be at work, that big sister that you can just talk to when you need to, you can come to for advice. So I think that's probably what I would want my legacy to be as far as work goes. At home, I think, I mean, just that I was a good wife and a good mom. I would like for Cohen to know and feel like he had a good childhood, that his mom made his home comfortable for him, that his mom was there, that his mom was available, that his mom cheered him on. And then that Nate would feel like I was a great homemaker and that, you know, I was able to, you know, do a pretty good job of juggling the responsibilities of the home.
Okay. Well, when I think about legacy, I think about how people can look at you and hear you and see how you live your life and if they saw God in you. And I had this kind of affirmation yesterday at work. A lady that I've talked to, and you know, I look forward to seeing her when I'm at work, because she'll stop and talk to me. She was like, well, since you pray, she shared to me that she has been dealing with cancer. I didn't know anything about it. And she was like, since you pray, I know you pray, just pray for me. And I just went to the bathroom and bawled. Oh my God, this job really does have purpose. And when she did that, I was just like, oh, wow. There was another lady that was having issues, and she was trying to talk to some higher ups, like the Secretary of State. She came in, told me her story, and we was just like there crying together because, I mean, it was a mess. But I was there. I was available. So that was just mind blowing. I really appreciated that. Needed that.
Yeah. We're here to be of service. We're here to be of service.
And God just be sneaking in little.
Sneaking in
instances.
He's good like that.
That just, gave me chills. But okay, y'all, we've come to the end of the episode. Jamie, thank you so much.
And baby, you'll come on and be my maid.